Hey there, how's it going, everybody? It's like 12 hours later. My God, it's 8:29 p.m. on still Friday, September 27th, 2019. I'm getting more congested, but I'm actually going to get some nice, well-deserved sleep. And I'm probably going to beat it. My poison ivy is looking better. I only slightly scared some people that hadn't seen me in a few weeks. So it's getting better and things are good. And I wanted to do another podcast because I had listened to some things today. The news is worthy of multiple podcasts today. And an interesting dynamic going on right now is people that have been – that are paid to support the president, and I mean this president, not the president in general, but this president, people like at Fox News that in many of the – at least the direction used to be like this when Roger Ailes was running it, but he's old and dead now, thank God. And so they're getting a little bit better sometimes, but they're paid to promote, you know, a certain viewpoint that supports the president. And only a few of them speak the truth with impact. Like Shep Smith will do it sometimes. Chris Wallace will do it sometimes. And Chris Wallace did it today, and the reason why I bring this up is I'm in a hotel, and I'm not usually in hotels, but I'm in a hotel today, and I was going through the news on the TV because I so rarely have exposure to cable television. And you know, you think of the three cable news channels, you think of CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, or what I think of, right? Well, at the hotel, they have Fox News, but the channels that say MSNBC and CNN are paid infomercials for some type of vacuum, and they're really annoying. And you get caught if you turn on the other channel and you think it's a commercial. I got caught there for like a couple minutes, and then I realized what was going on. So I'm trying to think of like, how does this work? So why does one hotel chain, which is a pretty big one, I'm not going to name them, but why does one hotel chain have Fox News and have the channels for the other two news stations but have paid infomercials over them? And I was like, well, if there's only three cable news stations and you're one of them and you want to win the battle, if you could afford it, wouldn't you pay people to only show your news channel and not show the other ones if you were a dick? And I think the answer is yes, and I think that's what's going on here. And I might look into it, but not really, because it's not that big of a deal. But it is interesting, because why does the one channel have the money and also the tactic of doing that? Why does Fox News get in your ear in places where you have no other choice, which is interesting. I've noticed that too. And I won't go there because I actually won't speak off the cuff because I'm not going to accuse them of something I don't know. But I will say this. as I was watching some Fox News, I saw some actual news out of Chris Wallace, and I saw him going back and forth with like a hot blonde that they had that I've never seen before. And she was apparently tasked with, of course, trying to make things not look that bad for the president, which is really all they can do right now. So, however, the back and forth between her and Chris Wallace got to the point where, and it's, I mean, he's an anchor, you know, on their show, or like a contributor. He's not just a guest or being interviewed. I think it was her show that whatever it was, but she said like. He asked, and she asked him about what was going on, and he started going into how severe and how it's obvious that the president has done something wrong here. And she tried to cut him off and get him to dampen it, or, you know, combat. And then he was like, let me answer the question. He's like, I hear you. Let me answer the question, like cutting her off. Or she was cutting into him, and he overcut her off back and laid into the president. Went pretty far, not as far as to say he thought that they should impeach, but when it came to soliciting help from a foreign power to investigate a rival, probably like drumming up charges even. He was supportive of it, of actually happening and saying, you know, this needs to be addressed. So what's interesting is watching Fox News, which I don't normally do. Okay, so what do you do when you find out? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. What do you do when you find out your boss is like that, you know, that guy, that serial killer in like Kansas or Missouri or whatever, that guy that killed like 40 people. He's like in his 50s or 60s when he finally got arrested, or he killed dozens or something. What do you do when you find out that that was your dad or you know, or your boss, and your boss, like your boss is that guy. You had no idea. Now you find out everything's wrong. Okay. Well, because there's no arguing this issue that's going on right now, which is the president released the transcript because he had no other choice. He has to get ahead of every story. That's how he directs us, is he's always bringing, he's always making news, you know? And even when he reacts, he keeps us on edge. So he's got to release it. And the reason why he released it is because there's probably a full version. There's some things not in that written version that he released. And I bet you it's even worse. And there's probably audio of the conversation, by the way. I can't see how there isn't. How do you think they transcribe that thing? It's got to be audio. And that audio is probably on the classified system, which they moved everything to. Hilarious. Anyway, so the point is, you find out that your boss is a criminal, all right? I guess it's your boss. Maybe your pastor or something. It's not really a boss. It's the person you kind of support, and in this inflamed political environment, you support them harder, I guess, if you really push it. Like, maybe you're a big-time Trump supporter. You're probably not, but maybe you are, and you know, if people argue, you know, you want to argue about welfare queens and people getting off their ass and capitalism working, which are valid arguments. I'm a welfare queen, but whatever. Or you want to talk about lowered social assistance from the government and less taxes, and those are legitimate points. But now you got a president who's, you know, clearly done stuff wrong that's not only not morally okay, it's not legally okay, and it's not globally geopolitically okay. We need to take a side on what it means to be in a democracy. We're not in a dictatorship yet. If we don't get people like William Barr out of their positions, the president out of his position, you know, if we don't do that and we allow that, because he's not going to give up the office after the election when he loses, if he isn't able to cheat again. And if he loses, he's not leaving. He's got to pardon like dozens or hundreds of people. He's got a lot to do. That's why he's not going to resign. No way. The only way he would resign is if it made him escape some justice somehow. And it's not even going to help. He won't think it. He think it would, but it's not going to help, because he's going to get charged with state crimes, and the federal government's not going to be able to do that. But he's never going to give it up at this point, because he has too much to lose. I really don't know how this ends for him. I mean, how quickly can you impeach and remove, right? I mean, maybe even 25th Amendment cabinet-wise. You can't even rule that out, because even though legally all of his corrupting influence is so dangerous and really should be handled by impeachment and conviction in the Senate, the mental instability of him, which is clearly there to act this way, is worthy of this, of the, you know, that's what it was for. There's so many reasons. You know, the founders put so much into our Constitution that we could be utilizing right now. And it's amazing that he's been able to even corrupt us into not exercising our power as the majority of citizens. You know, I was thinking of calling this podcast 53 and Me, but I really like the Chris Wallace segment, because I think that people should stand up for the truth and you will be rewarded, even if in the immediate you are scolded or reprimanded or attacked. You know, like the whistleblower is super smart, and the whistleblower is clearly a senior CIA, you know, employee. This person understood that they're going to get attacked, and we're now like checking up on people in terms of congressional testimony about what kind of people are they. They've been installed. They're acting people. Like, there's an acting director of national intelligence, McGuire. And when I watched him with his testimony, listened to his testimony, watched his testimony, I really like the guy. I know that type of guy. I know that type of guy that has been, God, around probably Northern Virginia. I don't know where he lives, but I mean, he's been around the D.C. metro area, I'm sure, for a long time, in and out. You know, you go everywhere when you're in the Navy. If you're not in a submarine or in San Diego or in Connecticut or in Virginia Beach, you're in Northern Virginia. So the point is, I was listening to his testimony, and I was like, wow, this is a very intelligent, thoughtful man. And I believe he wants to do the right thing. And he's also this type of man, which is a man who believes in the rules and the Constitution, I'm sure, and chain of command and how we operate as a country. And when he was tasked with being, I mean, I think you have to look at it this way, I guess, in a military command sense. If you were given, it's interesting. It's a tough analogy because it even ties back to, you know, what if you found out, you know, your boss was a murderer or something? How about you get, yeah, you get past a whistleblower complaint. And you're the last line between giving that essentially to the media. I mean, giving it to the Congress, even in a secured sense, is still almost like giving it to the media, because Congress is going to be able to act out of a classified sense. And the whistleblower was so smart, the whistleblower even wrote it in a way so that part of it could be unclassified and be a start and an end, and then part of it is classified that we haven't seen. And I think that what it's just so interesting. What's going on here? So, okay. I'm talking about five different things and going different directions, but the news is just really intriguing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was going to originally call this podcast 53andMe. The reason I was going to call it 53andMe was because I believe there are 53 Republican senators. I'd like to look that up, but I mean, I could. I'm pretty sure they are. I'm just gonna like cross my fingers and say I think there are. 53andMe. We all should get to know our 53 Republican senators, because they're the ones that we need to democratically convince that we need to remove the guy at the top. And let me get back to McGuire's testimony for a second. So as I listened to him methodically answer every question, which he had clearly anticipated, and also not upset the president by sticking to what the president's privilege is, actually, he actually has a legitimate privilege to exert, though, which is his privileges with his conversation with the president because of his position. So that answer works. And Adam Schiff tried to push him by getting him to say more than he is supposed to about, did you talk to the president about the letter, the whistleblower complaint, which he obviously has, because because the president is not stupid enough to not realize, you know, he realized that there was a last line of defense between that thing going to Congress, and that was the Director of National Intelligence. So I kind of understand from his perspective, yes, he didn't hit the 7-day deadline, but he also had other, he kept calling it an unprecedented situation, and unprecedented situations mean he needs more time. However, the way in which he handled with the Congress, while on its face didn't look good while it was happening, yielded a pretty interesting result. So I actually don't side with Adam Schiff on, and I'm not saying Adam was too tough on him, but I don't think that man has nefarious means. However, this is the danger of having Trump as the president. He's so corrupting. He pushes everyone to do illegal things. That's why his personal lawyer is currently in prison. And his campaign manager, Paul Manafort, is in prison. And still, and then tried to cut a plea deal with the FBI and then lied to them and created more crimes while he was fake cooperating by leaking information to the president. I mean, silly, you know, silly of us to think that he would be honest. Those are the kind of people he hangs with. So these 53 Republican senators, we just have to get to know them. We need to take them out to dinner. I guess it has to be under $50, I think, or we have to report it, something like that. But we need to hang out with our Republican senators and let them know that them making a decision to remove a sociopathic narcissist who could try to destroy the world at any moment if he isn't right now, that removing that guy is okay, even if he's got a Republican next to his name. It's no big deal. So let's all get to know our 53 Republican senators. Hey, you start with somebody. Let's start with Lindsey Graham. And we'll start with Lindsey, because Lindsey is a really smart dude, but is clearly corrupted by his donors or by some connections he has or something. So when Lindsey Graham finally says, yeah, Trump's got to go, I'm back to my pre-when-he-was-president opinion of him, when Lindsey says, yeah, I'm voting for, you know, we're going to move him out. We're going to take him out. We're going to take him down to Savannah. Going to stick him on a boat. Going to cut the rope and just, all right. When Lindsey says that, then it's on. So go meet your 53 Republican senators. Start with Lindsey.